Yes, Walter, welcome back. And we still have my panel here. We're having a good crack here. And, of course, don't forget, like, the Mystic Meg Trophy was up this year for grabs. And, of course, it's been won by Roy because Roy had three right verdicts. And, of course, Nicholas had two. Gussie, you didn't do it too well at all. Like, you know.
Has to be last, John.
Yeah, so Jerry Doyle said.
That's right.
That's why he lost his job. Predictions for the season, of course. Who will win the league? Gussie says Cork. Well, he's not right yet.
No, still on a trip.
And Roy and Nicky said Dundalk.
Yeah. They're not right either yet.
Who'll be relegated? Roy and Nicky. Well, I think dead on there, draw there. And Gussie, Finn Harps. They're not relegated yet, Gussie.
It's only a matter of time, John.
Who will win the cup?
Oh, Jesus.
Roy and Gussie, then Doc. Nicholas, you traitor, you Shamrock Rovers. Yeah. Well, did you come up with that one? Well,
the one I went for that, John, that was to put the commander on them.
I think you were seedy that Saturday, had you in the
I put the commander on them. I put the commander on them.
And the surprise team of the year, well, Roy, the Pats, yeah, it is a surprise. They're fighting relegation. And Nicky, you're as bad, Sligo. And, of course, Gussie, like, sixth last year, he took a mad guess. Bray, politician.
Fifth or sixth, don't
they? The player of the year, Roy went for Michael Duffy. And you went for Patrick McElhinney. And Gussie went for Conor Clifford on my advice.
And your advice, John.
Didn't know he was going to be. He was gambling, Gussie.
You never put me right in your life.
No. Well, so that's the way those things are at the moment. I just want to talk about, come back to Shamrock Rovers fans, because it's the week we beat them, and why not talk about them? The behaviour of them in Oriel Park wasn't atrocious. Like, that we can't stem this stuff in Oriel Park. They come here and they just take over. Could you imagine going to Dublin or Cala and trying to take over? Roy, you just couldn't get in for a pint last Tuesday night unless you took your Dundalk coat off. Isn't that right?
You weren't in the Dundalk colours, you weren't in the Malden Hotel. And like we said to your man at the door, you have a short memory. We were up there for five or six games in the Europa League and we kept that place going.
That's right.
And they weren't even giving us cocktail sauce or something then. And it was packed then. And it was a disgrace last Tuesday night. I mean, it was unbelievable. And as Nicky says about the rural supporters, when we got to Dublin, you park there and you walk over. And then these guys were let walk down and wreck the town. We were told where to go. No running around the place. Park your bus there, get off, and go straight into the game.
No.
It was scandalous the way we were treated, John. And you were talking even about the toilets being closed at half time. And the abuse, well, our crowd was okay, but I mean, were you wearing that, John? It was terrible.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they can get away with it. To come off the train, and I was actually walking up, instead of being let down the township, we just go up to where you're parking in the ground. I went down and watched the
train. According to the post, and Doc wanted it played earlier.
Half 12.
When there'd be no drink on the scene.
The
like.
Doc and the guards, John.
You know, and the guards,
And it was RTE, apparently, that said it had to fit in with their television schedule. Huh. Now, once does a television schedule, John, take precedence over public safety? That game should have been played, in my opinion, at 2:30.
Yeah.
And I agree with the way these guys come in, and even when Dundalk scored, one guy jumped into among the supporters in the stand. He should have been ejected immediately. Then don't forget the flare that was thrown onto the pitch. Before the players had even introduced themselves to each other, like, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, and then they were looking for Dundalk to build a temporary stand behind the goals to accommodate more of these supporters. No way. And then give Dundalk a miserable couple of hundred tickets, like, you know. No, I don't know how they're getting away with it, like, John. I agree with you. There's a bad. I know we are support on all angels, but these guys have raised the bar, in my opinion, as regards hooligans. You know, and they're not, as you said earlier, they're not teenagers either. I saw that when I went to Tala before. No, John.
No. It's something like that stops you from going to Tala now at the present day, doesn't it?
I'm not the only one.
I agree with you. I asked plenty of people and they said they'd never go back to us.
Never.
That's going to happen now, John.
Yeah.
The way people are treated tonight over the toilet.
Yeah.
They're not going to go back to it.
Yeah.
They're not going to have that.
And who's losing out then? It's them on the gate money, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know. Well, have you anything to say on that, Gussie?
No, look, I agree with what Roy and Nicky said. But it's not. This is not the first year that incidents have happened with Shamrock Rovers in Oriel Park. down through the years it's happened, and you know, nothing seems to be done about it. And
When will we hear about it? Who can get that and go with that complaint and make sure that it doesn't happen again?
It's up to the dog to probably secure the place and have enough security up there that these things don't happen. But the incident down the town, I know for a fact that most of the pubs would have been told not to open their doors when Shamrock Rovers are playing, and obviously this certain pub probably didn't know that or just were caught unawares, and these things happen. But you know, when the likes of this club comes around, you just have to be on your guard, because Eton's liable.
But when you take it into context, could you imagine the four of us going up to Dublin and try and wreck a pub?
Well, there's more than four, I think.
I'm only saying the four of us having that in our heads.
You wouldn't.
You go into a pub for a pint and you go up to your game and that's it.
And look, there is genuine, and I'm sure there was plenty of genuine Shamrock Rovers fans.
Yeah, we were sitting among them last Tuesday night.
Last week they did get in for a drink somewhere in the pubs around the area. You know, they were known and they were let
in.
You'd always have this element that's going to cause trouble.
Well, I thought that, Gussie, until last Tuesday night. Right, we were sitting among hardened Rover supporters, 60, 70, 80 of age. And I'm sure if you were listening, you could hear it coming across the radio. It wasn't very nice. It's coming up to us with the clenched fists and your scumbags and this, that, and the other about your wives and everything. Do you know?
Well, I know, John, he's dead now, a late cousin of mine who was a Shamrock Rovers supporter all his life and went to Milltown, and he told me, "I'm not never going to Tala."
No,
he would not go into Tala. He says no.
But is it ever going to be changed?
That's right. I don't know.
And what other team comes down and causes that problem?
No. It's the same. Every other club. I was talking to two Pats supporters, and they were saying the same thing. One club that don't like seeing coming to Richmond Park is Shamrock Rovers. There's bound to be trouble. Talking to Sligo Rovers supporters in Sligo, they said the same thing too. When Sligo won the league, there was playing a dead rubber against Rovers. The Rovers supporters came down and they said, before you knew where you were, there was being smashed. And the other thing. Remember the last time they were here and they came to Pierce Park and they upset?
That's right.
There was a house there where a woman died. And it caused havoc outside the place. Yeah. And who's going to pay for the damage to the pitch?
That's the point why I'm taking it up. It was swept under the carpet once more. And here we have it again this year.
Yeah, and nothing.
You know, when is it going to be stopped?
Yeah, and I think it...
Can
it be stopped?
That's the thing.
Even the burning of the pitch, it wasn't even mentioned in Soccer Republic.
No.
Any other team, this would be wrong and that would be wrong.
That was
Scandalous, so it is.
If that was Dundalk fans of that and Tally, you'd hear all about it.
You'd be in jail.
Gussie, I'm going to ask you this one. Has the format of three teams been relegated this year proven right with excitement at the bottom of the league now?
Well, actually, you look at it, John, it probably has. Because from early start in the league, it was a two-horse race in Dock and Cork. And that's the way it turned out. And all the interest was down the bottom because there's still what? I'd imagine Pat Sligo, Galway and Finn Harps. Those what? Was
Well, I'll tell you what. Finn Harps have 30 points.
Yeah.
Galway have 34. Sligo 35. Pat's 35. And Limerick of 36.
Limerick are playing the night,
so they could get out of that maybe the night. Trouble.
So it's Pat Sligo, Galway and Finn Harps.
Yeah.
Harps, you know, Harps' two games is, they're home to draw the next week.
You'd
fancy to beat draw the next week. So it's what Sligo, Galway.
Sligo, they have Derry City at home and draw the way. Mm. And they've 33 points.
Yeah, Limerick, the Galway play Limerick next week, don't they?
Yeah.
And then their last
and
game is us.
And home to Dundalk, yeah. And they have 34 points, Galway. Then we go to 35 points, the Pats. Yeah. They're at home to Cork City. And if Derry done a job on them the next Monday night, certainly it'd be very interesting. Yeah. And Derry City away.
You're in dreamland, John. Are you dreaming?
No, I'm not dreaming. No. Come here.
Oh.
If football always worked the way you think it works, Gussie, we get the football curtains up every week.
Don't worry about it, John.
Limerick, 36.
18 points ahead at one stage.
Limerick will get out of it. Well, the Galway at home and Shamrock Rovers away.
You'll be put out of your misery.
If Limerick win the night, John, it'll be as good as
So we'll say, looking at that, that it's Drogheda and Finn Harps are gone.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
I'd imagine. Well,
because he mightn't agree with, because he doesn't agree with anything.
you'd fancy Finn Harps to be Drogheda next week.
Right.
So that'll put them on 33 points.
Yeah. So,
It'll go down to the last game of the year.
Would you have a wee bit of a guess who'd go down?
I'd take Finn Harps and Galway.
Yeah. I only want the one because I think Finn Harps will go down.
I think Galway would be the team that
Galway, right?
I think Galway too, John, yeah.
Right.
I'd go for Galway, John.
That's three Galways.
Yeah. The only thing is,
John, must have a cabin or something in Galway for the races.
It may be exciting at the moment, but the wider picture is this. Three teams go down into that hell of a first division.
Yeah.
And guys have their budgets and all that. It's very difficult to come out of it, John.
Yeah.
Very difficult to come out of it. And is that good for the game overall? I keep saying this, you know.
Gussie has a great suggestion that we put reserve teams in and make it a B division.
Maybe that's a better way of going, yeah.
But Shamrock Rovers spent $66,000 on one and dropped out the following year.
Mm.
That's because Mr. Fendon wanted the money to straighten the Shamrock Rovers. But look, at you see, well, on this,
we'll be playing 36 games next year,
yeah,
instead of 33. Mm. And the title we're trying to live, I think it's wrong. I don't agree with it anyway.
Here's a message for you, Roy. Afternoon, gentlemen. Enjoying the show as usual. Really looking forward to the Aviva from Olivia and Rosie.
Oh.
And hold on, Roy. The kettle will be on for you on Monday. See you then.
Very good. I'll be down.
I'll be down with them. I'll be down with them, Olivia and Rosie. And I don't take sugar in my tea.
Are you sweet enough?
I'm sweet, too sweet at the moment. We'll go to the good, the bad and the ugly now. Roy, you started that a bit.
I'd wrap the bad and the ugly all in one. The referees, the two referees for the games with Shamrock Rovers were terrible, I think. Some of the decisions, the behaviour of the Shamrock Rovers supporters, the behaviour of Shamrock Rovers, the way that we were treated in Talla, and the Mall Hotel. I think the good, the bad and the ugly's in there. The good is just the way the dogs playing and getting to the Aviva game.
No.
I think it's fantastic. But the bad and the ugly goes together. That's mine all wrapped up in one. I think it was a disgraceful the way they behaved. And I think the referees were very, very poor.
Yeah. Gussie, can you follow that?
I just think the good part would be getting to the Aviva, and our end of season form has been very, very good. Bad probably, and you know, was probably the bad start we got to the season. You know, we lost 12 points in the first round of fixtures. In the first 12 fixtures, we lost 12 points.
Mm.
That probably cost us, because we were after finishing in December. We were coming back to play in February, and we lost probably quite a number of players.
And what would you put that down to, Gussie? Is it that we had players trying to gel, or was it still players were their bodies were tired after such a season before?
I thought maybe the first round of fixtures were slightly harder than what Cork's fixtures were, considering that we were after playing till December and we lost a lot of players and we were going in to play top teams.
Do you think the FAI you take that into consideration?
No, and then, like, unfortunately too, like, when we played Rosenborg, you know, when we played them here, our next two games we lost 5 out of 6 points.
Uh-huh.
Rovers beat us and we drew with Sligo.
Yeah.
So that was a wee bit unfortunate at the start of the league, that we lost so many points, and that's what caused it. That was a wee bit of disappointment.
Right.
The start of the season.
And have you an ugly?
Well, probably what we see with Shamrock Rovers on a regular basis every time they come to play with us.
When it comes into my head, has Dundalk a liaison officer these days?
They have.
That these things can they be
have,
told?
Yeah. They have.
Well, shouldn't people be telling them about the carry on? Or is there any way that we can do something to stop it in any way? It's happening every year. Still not, we talk about it, but nothing happens to Rovers, nothing happens to their fans, and we're still in the same boat.
Maybe we'll end up banning them.
The good job
good for man,
me.
Nicky.
Well, the good for me is Dundalk finishing their season last year in December 78, losing a couple of players, taking them to jail, and yet the position we are in at the moment, the worst we can finish up is runners up in the league, third year in a row in the going to the Aviva. I think that's absolutely marvellous. The bad for me, I would separate the bad from the ugly, Roy. The bad for me were the two horrendous tackles, not two of many, one on the Chris Shields and one on Dylan Connolly, and a yellow card. It should have been a straight red for McAllister of Rovers instead of a second yellow and a red, and it should have been a straight red for Timlin. And yet the referees, particularly when they become the fourth official, if you put your foot outside the technical area, they're over like a shot. The ugly, again, the Rovers supporters, the behaviour, they've thrown the flare onto the pitch. What I would do if I was in Dundalk's position, I would send an invoice to Rovers and let that be highlighted for the damage to the pitch. Because the only way that's going to stop if Rovers themselves are hitting the pocket, John.
So, who would we do that to? A liaison officer or something like that, is it?
And straight into the FAI as well. That game was under the auspices of the FAI. And sorry, John, and the last thing I'll say there is that to say to television, Aaron, in future, lads, the Gardaí will make the decision on when the game is going to be televised or been played. That's number one. And secondly, as you're talking about the liaison officer, the FAI liaison officer should tell the television, the next time you televise a game, there has to be a fee paid to the participating teams. It's ridiculous that you can lose 1,000 people off your gate and you get no compensation.
Not only in a game like that, but an ordinary league game. After maybe 10 or 11 games just played.
Exactly.
Which means you're definitely going to lose a crowd.
Absolutely.
Like, I think that's up for negotiating now in February, Nicky. Yeah. They just deal with the television and that.
Has to be.
And I mean, they'll want to get their things right.
I'll go to another station like Air.
Well, that's it. I'm sure they would have showed up the semi-final of the Cup, but RT have the rights of the two semi-finals, you know.
It seems very strange that all the teams in England are dependent on the television money, and here we are in Ireland, we don't need it, isn't it? It's strange.
Now in England they want to give to the top six teams and forget about the rest, you know, give them the big money.
And many of them will survive after that, you know, that's what's keeping them alive.
The teams, you
can tell the middle of the table every year, but they're still there because of the television money. And when we have an attractive match on, we're just leaving ourselves open to lose money, aren't we?
Exactly, losing money.
We know we're in the final of the Cup now. The two best teams in the country, you must say. The Aviva Stadium, to showcase the game. Stephen Kenny's tactics or John Caulfield's tactics, Gussie?
Well,
I know you're not a lover of John Caulfield.
I'd imagine if Dundalk get all their players that's injured at the moment fit for the 5th of November, I would definitely think Dundalk would be quite capable of beating Cork, especially the big pitch. I'd have no fears of playing Cork in the Viva. Definitely not. You know, we've seen the way they play Cork. They're not really a footballing team. They get into your faces. Like, they played us last year in the Cup final. They beat us in extra time, wasn't it? And
yeah.
We were after coming back from Russia on a Thursday. And we were out on our feet. And I'd be fancying the dog fully fit, playing in the Viva in the 5th of November. We'd have a wee bit of a break now in a fortnight's time. So where would he be up and running? I'd have no fears beating Cork, definitely not.
Right. What's your opinions there on that?
I would think final.
I know we're all going to go for Dundalk, naturally enough.
I think, but
it's a wonderful day to look forward to, isn't it?
If he is every player fit, he's going to have some headache. You know what I mean? If you get John Mowney and Connolly and
talking to him last night, he wasn't too sure he'd have all his players fit.
I seen Connolly in the stand, John, and he was kind of limping. And I think if you got Dylan Connolly and Michael Duffy. And form was two wingers in the Aviva. They could take any defence apart with their speed and get good crosses in there to make winning that. No, I wouldn't have minded, John. I think if Dundalk is fully fit, they would beat Cork. I wouldn't have any hesitation.
Well, I interviewed Dylan Connolly last night, and of course I didn't play them because I have my esteemed friends, and he said he should be all right nearly for next week. But you were talking about two bad tackles, Nicky.
Yeah.
If you had to see the one Tuesday night, the Clark put on Connolly, and not even a free kick for it. He just cleaned them out of it. And it was a leg breaker, like, from the back.
He's been targeted, like, you know, and it's
well, like, I don't mind the fella being targeted, because anyone with pace is always going to be targeted. Do you know what I mean? The name of the game is slow them down, isn't it? That's it. Silly, just like, you know. Anyway, going back to the cup final, Nicholas. You're like a pig in shite. What are you going to do now? What a thrill for you.
It's great again, John. Three in a row, like, you know, the whole atmosphere. And last year, Dundalk had every chance to win that, but they were handicapped by the FAI to play that game on a Sunday after coming back from Russia. That's in the past now. Dundalk can go out now on the 5th of November. Funny Guy Fawkes night. I can just see the headlines, fireworks in the Aviva, you know, because I definitely think Dundalk will beat Cork. Like Scussy says, I have no fear of them. Like, you know, it's coming back to what I said, to keep saying to people.
Even though you picked Shamrock Rovers, now, Nicholas.
That was a blip.
Don't forget that.
I put a cometa on them. The one thing I would say about what Matt Busby used to say all the time, the great Matt Busby, football will always win in the end. And Dundalk are the best footballing team in the league, the best football team. Right. And interesting enough, I was talking to somebody last night in the bar as usual, and he tells me he looked up, there was on his his Facebook, a Drogheda United supporter who said he'll want to cheer on a team that represents the League of Ireland the best way in Europe, and that team is Dundalk. God help us if it's Cork City.
Yeah.
The best team always wins the league, Nicky.
Well, the best football team.
And the best team wins the league.
Yeah. Football, you must win it in style. I mean, if you're content,
you could be the best football team and you mightn't win the league.
Yeah, well,
but the best team always wins the league.
Well, you always say that, John.
Come over here and I'll have a chat with you.
Yeah, I mean, you might think that, because you might say that the table never lies. But what do you want to remember? Do you remember a team that hacked away? I'm not saying Cork hacked away, hacked away to a cup to win the league, or a football team that goes out to play the game the way it should be played?
You'll always remember the winners. You'll never remember the runners up.
Well, I'll remember. I always remember Dundalk, no matter what position they're in.
Good man, Nicholas. Good man.
Yeah,
and I always remember that I have a teaser at the end of the programme. And it's a very easy one today.
It's always easy.
And I find it here. I had it turned at the page because Gussie would be looking over my shoulder. What player has made the most appearances for Dundalk this season? Gussie?
Michael Duffy.
The most appearances? Gary Rogers.
McMillan.
Gussie's right. Michael Duffy, 27 times.
Duffy,
just picked that up last night when I was half asleep, because that was an easy one.
Rogers was second.
Rogers was 26.
Yeah. 26, all right.
You were looking up all those files. You knew he was going to have something like that, did you?
Yeah. I was telling him, 20 clean sheets this year.
Yeah.
He was saying to me last night, right? I was talking to Rogers last night, up in the board.
Yeah. Will McMillan beat Maguire, do you think? The goal tally?
No, I don't think so, John.
No?
Yeah, I can't even
get two more league games, no? You wouldn't want him to beat him anyway, because you get no fan mail from Sean Maguire.
He probably would get player of the year then if he didn't win the Maguire, you know.
Do you think Maguire will get player of the year? Oh,
no doubt.
I wouldn't. What
overall player of the year in the League of Ireland?
Yeah.
What about you, Nicholas?
Well, Maguire.
Who'd be challenging him even?
Well, I'd say they're a Cork player, John. Stewie Bourne picked his team of the year in the Mirror on Friday.
Right.
You treat him dog player, you think he'd five from Cork?
I'd take McMillan run it, would certainly run him close. The fact that Seanan Maguire is missing now anyway. Like, but going back to player of the year, you saw who player of the month was. Brendan Melia of Rovers.
Yeah.
Because of his fantastic goal against Cork City, it said, fantastic goal against Finn Harps, and a hat-trick against Bluebell United.
If you can remember at the start of the season, he was playing very, very, very well with Shamrock Rovers.
Yes.
And there was this talk of him going across water.
Yes.
You know, he is one of the chaps in Rovers that has a bit of a football ability in him.
I agree
and
with
maybe
you.
He's not been let play because Express of the different tactics of the Rovers setup.
You might have a good point there. Do you think the fact that Ronan Finn came in could have upset the whole system that he was used to?
I don't know. I think there
I'd
is
agree
certain
with you,
players
a good player.
In Shamrock Rovers that are good technically football players, yeah. And they're not allowed. Like if the manager was to say, lads, go out there and play football, and give them a free rein of saying, go on out and play and enjoy yourselves. I think Shamrock Rovers, a lot of the players like Amelia could be.
Do you think a manager says that to a team these days? Go out there and enjoy yourself, Gussie.
Go out there and win. And do your tools, huh?
I'm sure Stephen Kenny would let people go out and enjoy themselves.
John, tell Gussie the saying is the team with the most points wins the league, not the best team or the best football inside. That honour, John, will go to Dundalk.
Oh.
And that comes from Andrew again. So thanks very much for not agreeing with Gussie, Andrew. It's not like you. So the next time he sees you in Oriel Park, it's a pint of water you'll get, not a pint of beer. You know. Well, folks, the time has caught up with us. The hour is gone. And I'm sure we'll maybe get us in before the cup final and have a wee chat and think what's happening. But a big thank you to Roy, Gussie and Nicky for expressing your opinions. And as I said, we may get you in again before the season's over. And hopefully you enjoyed it as much as I do.
Of course, we always
and the cheque is in the post.
Oh, great.
I don't know whether you've been retained or not, Gussie, because you're bottom of the Mystic Meg.
And you forgot to mention, I also tipped Waterford to win the first division, John.
Oh, yeah. I owe you 20 pence, don't I?
You gave me 20 to 1, yeah.
I'll give you a tea bag tomorrow morning. Would that be all right?
You're some judge, weren't you?
Yeah, I was some job, yeah. And I don't know how you thought of that, Gussie, being sponsored by a millionaire. That was a hard one. Yes, we'll have a break now, Jason.